From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Vasky, a bright young dubstep phenom out of Minnesota who's made quite an impression on the bass music scene. He's already released a number of influential tracks on Excision's Rotten Recordings, and he's coming out with a brand new single and video, Insane, very, very soon. If you're in the Minnesota area this weekend, you're in luck because our sponsors, Twin Cities Dubstep and Madtown Dubstep, are presenting the inaugural Infrasound Music Festival, featuring Vasky along with Tipper, Iyoto, Downlink, Crisley, Cohen Sound, Sugar Pill, Darth Invader, and a ton more acts all weekend long at the beautiful Outback Ranch in southeastern Minnesota. The first day of music gets underway here in a couple of hours, and pre-sales for Friday and Saturday tickets are still on sale for a limited time at tcdubstep.com. Make sure you grab yours quickly. All right, on with the interview. So I just was flipping through the channels right now, and I saw Kmart using dubstep to sell backpacks to 10-year-olds. You didn't do that, did you?
No, I have not heard about that, actually.
There was a chance. Or you might be in bed with Target. I'm not sure.
I actually used to work at Target.
Well, then you'd be the perfect official producer for their new brand of backpacks. It only makes sense. It sounds crazy to talk about your career because we're talking about a span of like 3 or 4 years. But when you look back on, say, a track like Get Down, which catapulted you to popularity, it sounds so vastly different than the stuff you're doing today. You know, it's minimal, it's guttural, it's grimy. It's just got such a different vibe to the stuff that we're hearing from you and your contemporaries today. Have you been charting your own evolution and the evolution of the scene?
Well, really, everything is quite a bit different. Like the whole, like you were saying, the whole scene is a lot different than it used to be. That was in late 2009, and I mean, still like the same elements, like the way I make my bass sounds and the melodies and stuff, that's still all there. But nowadays, it's more, I'd say it's more aggressive, and especially even 6 months ago, it was really, really aggressive. Like everyone was just like trying to make the hardest track possible, and right now, I'd say we're kind of in somewhat of a revival of people wanting to make a little bit more chill stuff, especially with this whole trap movement going on. You know, everyone's just like trying to find new ways of making stuff that's similar and can fit in with dubstep sets, but not actually completely dubstep. So I think it's really interesting to see what's going to happen next while people are doing this, you know, like see if people are going to go back to trying to go really hard again or if it can just be full melodic for a while. I don't know. I really can't wait.
Do you feel pressured to remix pop tunes or at least employ pop vocal lines, hooks, verses, choruses into your productions?
I don't know if pressured is the right word, but I really feel like it's a good way to gain new fans and introduce people to the music. If I hadn't done any pop remixes, I would probably have half the fan base, if that, of what I have, just based on like what people have told me and said, like, oh, the first dubstep song I heard was your whatever remix, you know, and like it's cool for me to hear because I hear these people that they wouldn't have gotten into the music if I didn't make that song, you know, like obviously they would have eventually, but just like the way that they found this music that I like and that they now like is just like this remix that I did. That, I mean, some of the remixes that I do, I like them a lot, but I prefer to write originals. So it's cool to see that the remixes that I do pay off and that they help people to find the music.
You've discussed before the relationship between EDM and top 40 music of late. Do you think there will be a pendulum shift in the opposite direction where popular dubstep DJs and producers like yourself will start moving towards the underground again, looking for inspiration and less maybe accessible places, like you know, maybe looking less for source material from the top 40, and maybe vice versa. You had mentioned the new trap sound earlier.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, right now I think it's just going to continue to get more and more melodic and more heavily vocal based. When you look at just music evolution as a whole, like you see like the invention of the electric guitar, and then like, of course, people thought that wasn't music, it was just noise because it was distorted, and at that time, you know, it was just like crazy. And now, like, we hear those same sounds, we're like, wow, that's like really light and really chilled out. And then everything just got harder and harder. And then like there's always the question of like, where's the line of like what's really music? And it's always being pushed. And I don't know, I just think it's interesting to see that like what people see as music now is like different than what it's always been. Like you hear these crazy sounds, people are listening to it, and who knows like what it's going to be in a couple of years.
I mean, dubstep can be dangerous if you're not careful. Excision will rip your lungs out through your rib cage and slap them around like a couple of castanets. Have the masses gotten a little harder, or has bass music gotten a little more fluffy and cuddly for radio play, or is it hard to really pin down any style and say, you know, this is the direction this is going in, because, you know, there's so much stuff out there?
I think that there's a lot of stuff out there, and there's a lot of different niche markets too, you know, like you said with Excision, he has like the whole, as hard as you can get, like really heavy, grimy dubstep thing down, you know, and like that's growing just as much as other things are growing. And there's a lot of a growing market for a lot more melodic stuff. Like I was saying, like we're seeing so many new acts popping up out of nowhere that are not necessarily clones of each other, but just like the same or similar sounds. And I won't really give examples, but I mean, you can hear it, and just like someone comes out with a certain sound, and then a bunch of other people just kind of copy it and roll with it. And then like all these people get famous or blow up based off of like one person's sound. And it's just really interesting to see how many different little niches there are even within dubstep, which is like, dubstep is this big umbrella for all these other like little genres, like stuff that Cohen Sound does, like at 100 BPM. Like, what is that actually called? It's, people call it dubstep, but it's not actually dubstep, but it really depends on what your definition of it is.
We'll be right back.
touch. Our style can't be touched. Can't be touched. Our style
tune from Vasky, Get Down, followed by an example of his more evolved sound on Hard Style.
You've never been afraid to take your fellow artist down a peg or two. The shit dubstep DJ Say video you made is as funny as it is, you know, truthful and scathing, whether it's talking about doing blow on weekdays, moving to LA, or camel fat. I mean, this is great stuff. You obviously have a sense of humor about how crazy your life has become and how quickly all of your colleagues have risen in the industry.
Oh yeah, I mean, being a producer and traveling the world, you get to meet so many different people, and it's just the biggest thing to me is meeting all these weird people from all these different places and just seeing what's normal to all these different people that I meet. Like, what's normal in one city is not normal in another city, and those people think like what's normal is totally fine, you know, like all the stuff you're saying, you know, like all the partying and everything. Some people that's totally standard, and like other places, like very, very, very taboo. And even within the same music, like going to the same shows at different cities, you'll see a lot of different choices or like a lot of different things that people do, and it's just really interesting to see.
Are you still having fun with it? Are you happy being there in Minnesota? Is it the place for you? Do you feel comfortable where you've, you know, reached in your career, and you know, you're not looking for anything outside of your zone right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I will eventually move probably to California, like LA or something, just because it's a good industry move. But right now, at this point in my life, it doesn't really make sense. And like, all my close friends live here, and it's pretty awesome, like being able to just work online and work with people online and just travel on the weekends, or, you know, like do, like when I tour, I just tour other countries. And then like, normally I just pretty much, I'm home during the week and then I play during the weekends, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great life.
Do you enjoy watching the scene grow up around you? I mean, a couple of years ago, you're playing small shows, and then you start to catch fire. Your name, your brand, you know, becomes something that's very recognizable, not only in the Midwest, but the nation writ large, as well as, you know, you've got fans around the globe. And at the same time, you've seen Minneapolis build up around you. You've seen the shows get bigger and the crowds get bigger as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't live here for the dubstep scene. Like, I love the dubstep scene here, but it's not why I choose to live here. But I would say that the Minneapolis dubstep scene is pretty much what you would expect for a city, like a decent sized city, pretty much. But Minneapolis is not famous for anything, really. It's not like a major city in the US that you think of when you think of America. And that being said, it has a larger and crazier scene than you'd expect, being a city that's not necessarily on the map, so to speak. So it's really cool to like meet other producers and things that come here and play shows, and they're always surprised at like how good of a turnout it is and how into it people are, even on the weekdays. Like, people, they love the music here, and they love seeing new up and coming artists. We have a pretty big thriving scene of like other dubstep artists that are up and comers and like working at it, and it's just really cool to see everybody like loving the music.
Growing up, did you find it difficult to find like-minded people with whom you could share your interests? You know, as you were saying, Minneapolis isn't necessarily thought of as a big metropolitan city with what you'd imagine to be a thriving EDM scene. When you were younger, I imagine that was even less so the case.
Yeah, it was difficult, especially in high school is when I really, really got into the music. And before, like in early high school, I didn't really have any friends except my close friends that liked the music. Like all my other friends, like top 40 and everything, you know, and I'd show them stuff like Diesel Boy and like drum and bass and things that I was into. And they'd be like, wow, it's so fast. I can't find the beat. And then obviously you can find the beat. It's there. But then I started being more active online and I met some people on like a website where you post your music that were also from Minnesota, and they invited me to these like warehouse parties that were going on. And then I started to like meet a lot of people in the scene there, and I was able to eventually I started DJing, which was really helpful because I think I was around 17 at the time, and being I was a producer long before that, but I wasn't anywhere near being signed at that point. I was working at it and then like learning DJing before I blew up as a producer, I think was really valuable in that I got a couple years of solid practice playing in front of crowds, blowing up in that sense before I even started touring. Because I was friends with a few different producers who they were producers before they were DJs, and all of a sudden they're like huge producers and they don't know how to DJ, you know, or they've never done it before. They've never played in front of a big crowd. And
sure,
it's really nerve-wracking having never grown up doing that. And I mean, I played in bands growing up too, so I wasn't a stranger to like being in front of a crowd. So originally it was difficult for me. Like I was playing drums and I would get nervous at first, and now like it doesn't bother me at all. It's just part of my life and something that I love.
So you were able to develop your stage persona through endless gigging for, you know, 5, 6, 7 people at a time. I mean, that baseline, that foundation of being able to rock a crowd, it's no wonder your live performances have become the stuff of legend at this point.
I wouldn't really say the stuff of legend, but thank you. I mean, yeah, I think that the most important thing about being a performer is being confident in what you're doing, but also having a certain mindset where when you go to other shows, you should always be paying attention to how the crowd is reacting to no matter what it is. Like even if you're going to a comedy show or a polka show or some other weird thing, you know, like what works in one setting can always work in another setting. And it's always good to experiment. Anytime that someone is in front of a group of people, there's a certain weird mentality that's going on. And it's something that takes a while to explore and figure out. And just like subtle things that you'll do on stage can really set the crowd off or set you apart from other people. And also, while you're DJing, it's really easy to forget that. And even if they're not responding to your every move, like they're watching your body language and they're watching how you're acting. And if you look like you're having fun, they're going to have fun. But if you look bored or uncomfortable, they're going to feel the same way. And that's one lesson that I learned pretty early on when I was DJing, like even before I knew what dubstep was, is like one of my friends told me like, you looked uncomfortable up there. And I was like, well, I was, the decks were really low. I'm really tall. And he's like, well, you figure out how to like look like you're having fun, even if like your back hurts or whatever, you know. And that's something also that I learned from Rusko. One of the first times I played with him is like the decks were like 3 feet off the ground. I don't even know if that's exactly what it was, but like you had to bend over so far, and he's also close to my height. And like that show, I remember being in like the worst pain afterwards and like hating it, but then seeing him play after me and him looking like he was having the time of his life, even though he was like leaning over the whole time, I was blown away by that. I be that pretty motherfucker. Harlem's what I'm reppin'. Tell my niggas quit the bitch and we gon' make it in a second. Never disrespected. Plus I'm well connected with this coke that I imported. Just important as your president. Flag is so impressive. And I don't need a necklace, but these bitches get impressed when you pull up in that 7. I'm 6s, I'm beans, I get skins of the fresh cheese. Brad Simmons, Rick Owens, usually what I'm dressed in. Rolling blunt, rolling doobies
up, smoking section. Groupies rush, Olay boobies up in my direction. Quit with all the front and you ain't run my click for nothing. Cause our presence is a present, just to kick it is a blessing.
This isn't where we go, cause every day we are the pace of this. This isn't where we go, this isn't where we go, cause every day we are the pace of this.
Vasky remix of ASAP Rocky's Peso right here on the Unts podcast.
Do you think that because you were coming from the production world initially, that was your true passion, that pushes you to put more of your own stuff into your sets? I wonder how you decide that, or is it really just a case-by-case basis, like, oh, you know, I'm going to play more of my own stuff tonight, or for this show, I'm going to go out there and explore some of the other stuff that, you know, some of my friends are making. Do you have a slightly different perspective on assembling your mixes?
I think really depends on case by case, and it depends on where I'm playing at the time. Like, if I'm playing in a new market that I've never played in before, I'll tend to like play a set with more of my own music and more of my older stuff. But then if I'm playing somewhere like Denver, where I play pretty often, I tend to have to play more other people's songs, even just because I don't want to put on the same show as I've always put on there. Like, I always want to bring a lot of fresh things to the table. And I know that a lot of people say that they want to see, like, when they go to see a producer, they want to see them play their music. But at the same time, some songs are really old in dubstep time. You know, like, a song made in 2008 or 2009 is going to sound, like, really, really old compared to the stuff that we're making now. So, like, sure. I've gone through and I've remastered a few of my songs that I really like playing out. And I like to put them here and there in my sets just to surprise people. But a lot of times, like, it's kind of hard to gauge on whether or not people are really feeling it, because the people that will really get down with me playing an older song are probably the fans that aren't necessarily going to be right up in the front row, like screaming and like a bunch of shirtless people, you know, like those are probably the people that don't exactly know what I'm playing or who I am sometimes, you know, and like those are sometimes, it's unfortunate, but those are the people that you kind of have to base what you're playing off of, because like I play to the crowd and I want everyone to have a fun time and I want people to dance and I want them to go crazy, because that's like what dubstep is all about. But I also want to please like everybody in the crowd, and I know that there's some people around in the back that don't really want to be in the thick of it, and they just kind of want to listen and hear the musical evolution, and I really respect that too.
Because the genre has been around for at least a little bit of time, we're using such a wonky frame of reference here, like 3 years is ancient at this point, but because the genre has been around in somewhat mainstream or at least underground consciousness for a little while, as fans become more sophisticated, as the genre matures, I have to imagine that sort of opens up the possibilities to you. You can maybe take crowds on more of a journey versus just throwing bangers in their face one after another. I imagine as the crowds get a little bit more sophisticated, you're opened, you're offered a little bit more of a luxury with your sets.
Yeah, I would say that. And I think that as the market becomes more and more saturated, it will probably be more and more important to play a unique set with a lot of your own songs. And one thing that I've noticed in like how I plan my sets and how I plan my productions is, in the beginning, you used to make all these songs and you would not release all of them. You'd have a bunch of what were called dubs and like songs that aren't going to come out. And then a little while later, it was like I didn't really have many dubs because I was just putting everything out. But now mm-hmm. I'm being a lot more careful about what I put out, and I'm only putting out things that I think people are really going to like. And the ones that I'm not 100% sold on, I just end up playing those. So like during my DJ sets, a lot of people will say, like, oh, I didn't hear a lot of your music, but I actually played a lot more of my music than you know. It's just like a lot of it is songs that you don't necessarily know, or like older songs or songs that are new that haven't come out yet, or even songs that I've made that will never come out because I've made them just for playing. And I think that's kind of fun and pretty cool.
Interstitial stuff. That is really interesting. So the big news for this weekend is Infrasound Music Festival, presented by TC and Madtown Dubstep. Finally, a major festival, a major dubstep-centric festival in your neck of the woods. What's in store for your fans? Are you going to pull out all the stops because this is sort of a hometown festival for you?
Well, one thing that a lot of people might not know is this festival is actually at the same site as this rave called Accelerator, which was the first place I ever heard dubstep in 2008. So it's a pretty big deal to me, you know, like playing here, like headlining this thing, and it's at the same site as the place, or the first place I heard dubstep. So that's pretty cool for me, and I'm really excited about playing and being there with everyone. I'm going to be there the whole weekend, just hanging out. My set is on Saturday night. I'm going to play a lot of new stuff, and I'm going to play a lot of my older stuff too. I'm probably going to do a set that has a lot of my own music, just because I want to like share that experience with those people. And like a lot of these people are people that have seen me playing for years, you know, even before I went by the name Vasky, you know, before I was doing dubstep, I was doing electro, and it's just fun to be able to hang out with them and like rage with them and just spend a lot of time with them and show them like what I'm all about now after all these years.
The lineup is stocked. Downlink, Yodo, you had mentioned Cohen Sound earlier. Anyone else that you're really excited about seeing?
I'm honestly mostly really excited to see Yodo because I have never seen them. I've tried to see them multiple times, and just for various reasons it hasn't worked out. And also I'm stoked because Downlink, Sean, and I are pretty good friends, and we always play well together. I love his sets. Chris Crisley is also playing. He and I get along mm-hmm. well. That should be a really good set, too. I mean, there's going to be a lot going on.
And what's in your near future beyond Infrasound that people should be on the lookout for? New tour dates, new studio tunes?
I have a track called Insane, which I've collabed with a singer named Ava, based out of LA. She's done work in the past with Lupe Fiasco and Bass Nectar. And we have done a music video for it, like a really legit music video that is in editing right now. And as soon as that video is done, the song will be coming out on Rotten. So doing a really big push for that. And we're also doing a remix competition with that shortly after the song comes out. So that's going to be a really big one.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. Well, Alex Vasky, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
We close out today's episode with Vasky's remix of Pumped Up Kicks from Foster the People. Stay tuned for his new video and single for Insane, out soon on Rotten Recordings. And make sure to catch Vasky at this weekend's Infrasound Music Festival. 3 days of dubstep and bass music from all over the globe, including Tipper, Yodo, Downlink, Pillage, Zebla, Inconti, Experience, Gladkill, Nasty Nasty, and a ton more. Pre-sales for Friday and Saturday are still available for a couple of hours at tcdubstep.com. Please visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunz.com. Join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter.
We'll catch you next week.